I was in Great Bend the other evening as a keynote speaker at the Religious Education Care Conference. And I took the occasion then to share a story with the participants. I think, given the sheer fact of grace that shines out from the first and the third lesson today, I could probably share that same story with you. Several years ago, I became acquainted with a little blonde girl. She was 5, maybe 6 at the time. She came from a very fine Catholic family. They were ardently pro-life as newlyweds. They remained ardently pro-family all through their marriage. She was the last child, to date anyway, and wonder of wonders, she was the only girl in a family of boys. She is much loved by her greatly outnumbered mother. She is positively adored by her dad. She is the undisputed princess of that little kingdom. She was a petite little girl then. She was delicate. She had dark, inquisitive eyes. She had soft and silky blonde hair, as I said. She was quick of movement, but also graceful and languid, too, somehow. She was a gentle child who would wither away if anyone so much as frowned at her. She was a gentle child who would disappear if she were ever so much as slapped on the hand. She was an admirable little girl, intelligent, inquisitive, open to everything. She thrilled her dad when she came to liking nothing more than to go fishing with him, confirmed outdoorsman that he is. She was likable. She was huggable. She was affectionate in return. I presume I've said enough to give you a fairly good picture of this little girl right out of a fairy tale. Well, one day at her grandparents' house, I saw this little beauty turn ugly in an instant. One moment there was innocence. The next moment there was ugliness. Here's how it happened. It was late in the afternoon when she and her parents stopped by the house to say hello. They stopped for just a few minutes, for they were on their way to dinner. Grandmother did what grandmothers always do. She got out the homemade cookies. And mother did what mothers always do. She said, "One, just one, you'll spoil your dinner." And that's when it happened. She hovered around the large coffee table near the plate of forbidden sweets. An invisible serpent whispered in her ear, apparently, and when her mother was distracted, she snatched a second cookie and moved swiftly to another room. Nobody saw her except me. A shocking scene, from innocence to ugliness in an instant. How could that perfect child do such a thing? How could that crackling bundle of freedom go astray? How could innocence sin? What beguiling song did that second cookie sing to her? And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of the little blonde girl in me. And I suspect there's a lot of the little blonde girl in each of you. What you see in her is the imperious character of sin. She knows it is wrong to take that cookie. She knows she will disobey her mother. She knows she will disappoint her father. But although she knows these things, she simply cannot help it. She is powerless to avoid taking the cookie. And for me, that essential powerlessness, that lack of ability, that's the very worst part of sin. Last week we read stories of poor people along the East Coast getting themselves caught in the rip current. They were pulled firmly out to sea. They were submerged. They were pulled farther and farther away from reality. And I'm reminded when they're caught like that of what St. Paul said in the same letter to the Romans, but in a different chapter. He said, I don't do what I want to do. I always do what I don't want to do. I know better, but I do it anyway. I am powerless to avoid sin. If there's a little bit of the little blonde girl in each of us, there's also a lot of the little apostle in each of us. We're like Paul. We do always what we don't want to do. We do rarely what we do want to do. I invite you to remember the little girl today and to remember Paul today as we continue this Mass which is actually the saving death and resurrection of Jesus himself. Remember them as we celebrate the Mass and ask the Lord for his grace to overcome the state of sin in your life, to transform the way you think and act and see and feel about things that confront you. Think of them and open yourselves to being transformed.